Welcome back, listeners, to Sandman Stories Presents, a folklore podcast where I read you to sleep or until the next story. I'm your host, Dustin. Today we are back in the book of Philippine folklore, recorded by Mabel Cook Cole. In this story, we meet with Kawigawen and Aponi Bolanayan, who we both saw in a previous story. In this one, Aponi Bolanayan, sick with a headache, really wants a special orange from Kawigawen's garden. But she knows it's a dangerous journey, so she doesn't want to tell her husband about it. Okay, let's begin. Kawigawen of Adasen, from the Itneg people. Aponi Bolanayan was sick with a headache, and she lay on a mat alone in her house. Suddenly she remembered some fruit that she had heard of, but had never seen, and she said to herself, "Oh, I wish I had some of the oranges of Kawigawen of Adasen." Now, Aponi Bolanayan did not realize that she had spoken aloud, but Aponi Talo, her husband, lying in the spirit house outside, heard her talking and asked what it was she said. Fearing to tell him the truth lest he should risk his life in trying to get the oranges for her, she said, "I wish I had some pew, a type of fruit." Aponi Talo at once got up and, taking a sack, went out to find some fruit for his wife. When he returned with the sackful, she said, "Put it on the bamboo hanger above the fire, and when my head is better, I will eat it." So Aponi Talao put the fruit on the hanger and returned to the spirit house. But when Aponi Bolanayan tried to eat, the fruit made her sick and she threw it away. "What is the matter?" called Aponi Talao as he heard her drop the fruit. "I merely dropped one," she replied, and returned to her mat. After a while, Aponi Bolanayan again said, "Oh, I wish I had some of the oranges of Kawigawen of Adasen." And Aponi Talao, who heard her from the spirit house, inquired, "What is that you say?" "I wish I had some fish eggs," answered his wife, for she did not want him to know the truth. Then Aponi Talao took his net and went to the river, determined to please his wife if possible. When he had caught a nice fish, he opened it up with his knife and took out the eggs. Then he spat on the place where he had cut, and it was healed, and the fish swam away. Pleased that he was able to gratify his wife's wishes, he hastened home with the eggs, and while his wife was roasting them over the fire, he returned to the spirit house. She tried to eat, but the eggs did not taste good to her, and she threw them down under the house to the dogs. "What is the matter?" called Aponi Talao. "Why are the dogs barking?" "I dropped some of the eggs," replied his wife. Then she went back to her mat. By and by, she again said, "I wish I had some of the oranges of Kawigawen of Adasen." But when her husband asked what she wished, she replied, "I want a deer's liver to eat." So Aponi Talao took his dogs to the mountains, where they hunted until they caught a deer. And when he had cut out its liver, he spat on the wound, and it was healed so that the deer ran away. But Aponi Bolanayan could not eat the liver any more than she could the fruit or the fish eggs. And when Aponi Talao heard the dogs barking, he knew that she had thrown it away. Then he grew suspicious, and changing himself into a centipede, hid in a crack of the floor. And when his wife again wished for some oranges, he overheard her. "Why did you not tell me the truth, Aponi Bolanayan?" he said. "Because," she replied, "no one who has gone to Adasen has ever come back, and I did not want you to risk your life." Nevertheless, Aponi Talao was determined to go for the oranges, and he commanded his wife to bring him rice straw. After he had burned it, he put the ashes in the water with which he washed his hair. Then she brought coconut oil and rubbed his hair, and fetched a dark cloth, and a fancy belt, and a headband, and she baked cakes for him to take on the journey. Aponi Talao cut a vine which he planted by the stove and told his wife that if the leaves wilted, she would know that he was dead. Then he took his spear and his axe and started on the long journey. When Aponi Talao arrived at the well of the giantess, all the betel nut trees bowed. Then the giantess shouted and all the world trembled. "How strange," thought Aponi Talao, "that all the world shakes when that woman shouts." But he continued on his way without stopping. As he passed the place of the old woman, Olokotan, she sent out her little dog, and it bit his leg. "Do not proceed," said the old woman, "for ill luck awaits you. If you go on, you will never return to your home." But Aponitalao paid no attention to the old woman, and by and by he came to the home of Lightning. "Where are you going?" asked Lightning. "I am going to get some oranges of Kuigawen of Adasan," replied Aponitalao. "Go stand on that high rock, that I might see what your sign is," commanded the Lightning. So he stood on the high rock, but when the Lightning flashed, Aponitalao dodged. "Do not go," said Lightning, "for you have a bad sign, and you will never come back." Still, Aponitalao did not heed. Soon he arrived at the place of Shilit, Loud Thunder, who also asked him,
"Where are you going, Aponitalao?"
"I am going to get the oranges of Kuigawen of Adasan," he replied. Then the thunder commanded,
"Stand on that high stone, so that I can see if you have a good sign."
He jumped on the high stone, and when thunder made a loud noise, he jumped, whereupon Shilit advised him not to go on. In spite of all the warnings, Aponitalao continued his journey, and upon coming to the ocean, he used his magical power, so that when he stepped on his axe, it sailed away, carrying him far across the sea to the other side. Then, after a short walk, he came to a spring where women were dipping water, and he asked what the spring was. "This is the spring of Kuigawen of Adasan," replied the women. "And who are you that dare to come here?" Without replying, he went on toward the town, but he found that he could not go inside, for it was surrounded by a bank, which almost reached to the sky. While he stood with bowed head, pondering what he should do, the chief of the spiders came up and asked him why he was so sorrowful. "I am sad," answered Aponitalao, "because I cannot climb up this bank." Then the spider went to the top and spun a thread, and upon this Aponitalao climbed up into the town. Now Kuigawen was asleep in his spirit house, and when he awoke, he saw Aponitalao sitting near. He was surprised and ran toward his house to get his spear and axe, but Aponitalao called to him, saying, "Good morning, cousin Kuigawen. Do not be angry. I only came to buy some of your oranges for my wife." Then Kuigawen took him to the house and brought a whole carabao for him to eat, and he said, "If you cannot eat the whole carabao, you cannot have the oranges for your wife." Aponitalao grew very sorrowful, for he knew that he could not eat all the meat. But just at that moment, the chief of the ants and flies came to him and inquired him what was the trouble. As soon as he was told, the chief called all the ants and flies, and they ate the whole carabao. Aponitalao, greatly relieved, went then to Kuigawen and said, "I have finished eating the food which you gave me." Kuigawen was greatly surprised at this, and, leading the way to the place where the oranges grew, he told Aponitalao to climb the tree and get all that he wanted. As he was about to ascend the tree, Aponitalao noticed that the branches were sharp knives, so he went as carefully as he could. Nevertheless, when he had secured two oranges, he stepped on one of the knives and was cut. He quickly fastened the fruit to his spear, and immediately it flew straight to his own town and into his house. Aponi Bolanayan was just going down the bamboo ladder out of the house when, hearing something drop on the floor, she went back to look and found oranges from Adasan. She eagerly ate the fruit, rejoicing that her husband had been able to reach the place where they grew. Then she thought to look at the vine, whose leaves were wilted, and she knew that her husband was dead. Soon after this, a son was born to Aponi Bolanayan, and she called his name Kanag. He grew up rapidly and became a strong lad, and he was the bravest of all of his companions. One day, while Kanag was out playing in the yard, he spun his top and it struck the garbage pot of an old woman, who became very angry and cried, "If you were a brave boy, you would get your father whom Kuigawen killed." Kanag ran to the house crying, asking his mother what the old woman meant, for he had never heard the story of his father's death. As soon as he learned what had happened, the boy determined to search for his father, and, try as she would, his mother could not dissuade him. As he was departing through the gate of his town with his spear and axe, Kanag struck his shield, and it sounded like 1,000 warriors. "How brave that boy is," said the surprised people. He is even braver than his father. When he reached the spring of the giantess, he again struck his shield and shouted so that the whole world trembled. Then the giantess said,
I believe that someone is going to fight, and he will have success.
As soon as Kanag reached the place where the old woman, Alokotan, lived, she sent her dog after him, but with one blow of his axe, he cut off the dog's head. Then Alokotan asked where he was going, and when he had told her, she said,
Your father is dead, but I believe that you will find him, for you have a good sign.
He hurried on and arrived at the place where the lightning was, and it asked,
Where are you going, little boy?
I am going to Addison to get my father, answered Kanag.
Go stand on that high rock, that I might see what your sign is, said the lightning.
So he stood on the high rock, and when the bright flash came, he did not move, and the lightning bade him go on, as he had a good sign. The thunder, which saw him passing, also called to ask where he was going, and it commanded him to stand on the high rock. And when the thunder made a loud noise, Kanag did not move, and it bade him go on, as his sign was good. The women of Addison were at the spring of Guigawen dipping water when suddenly they were startled by a great noise. They rose up, expecting to see 1,000 warriors coming near. But though they looked all around, they could see nothing but a young boy striking a shield.
Good morning, women who are dipping water, said Kanag.
Tell Guigawen that he must prepare, for I am coming to fight him. So all the women ran up to the town and told Guigawen that a strange boy was at the spring, and he had come to fight.
Go and tell him, said Guigawen, that if it is true that he is brave, he will come into the town if he can.
When Kanag reached the high bank outside the town, he jumped like a flitting bird up the bank and into the town, and went straight to the spirit house of Guigawen. He noticed that the roofs of both the dwelling and the spirit houses were of hair, and that all around the town there were many heads, and he pondered, This is why my father did not return. Guigawen is a brave man, but I will kill him. As soon as Guigawen saw him in the yard, he said,
How brave you are, little boy. Why did you come here?
I came to get my father, answered Kanag, for you kept him when he came to get oranges for my mother. If you do not give him to me, I will kill you. Guigawen laughed at this brave speech and said,
Why, one of my fingers will fight you. You shall never go back to your town, but you shall stay here and be like your father.
We shall see, said Kanag. Bring your arms and let us fight here in the yard. Guigawen was beside himself with rage at this bold speech, and he brought his spear and axe, which was as big as half of the sky. Kanag would not throw first, for he wanted to prove himself as brave. So Guigawen took aim and threw his axe at the boy. Now Kanag used a magical power so that he became an ant and was not hit by the weapon. Guigawen laughed loudly when he looked around and could not see the boy, for he thought that he had been killed. Soon, however, Kanag reappeared, standing on the axe, and Guigawen, more furious than ever, threw his spear. Again Kanag disappeared, and Guigawen was filled with surprise. Then it was Kanag's turn, and his spear went directly through the body of the giant. He ran quickly and cut off 5 of the heads, but the 6th one he spared until Guigawen showed him his father. As they went about the town together, Kanag found that the skin of his father had been used for a drumhead. His hair decorated the house, and his head was at the gate of the town, while his body was put underneath the house. After he had gathered all the parts and the body together, Kanag used his magical power, and his father came back to life.
Oh, who are you? Asked Aponitalau. How long have I slept?
I am your son, said Kanag. You were not asleep, but dead, and here is Guigawen, who kept you. Take my axe and cut off his remaining head. So Aponitalau took the axe, but when he struck Guigawen, it did not injure him.
What is the matter, father? Asked Kanag, and taking the weapon, he cut off the 6th head of Guigawen.
Then Kanag and his father used magic so that the spears and axe heads flew about, killing all the people in the town, and the heads and the valuable things went to their home. When Aponibol and Ion saw all these things come into her house, she ran to look at the vine by the stove, and it was green and it looked like a jungle. Then she knew that her son was alive and she was happy. and when the father and son returned, all the relatives came to their house for a great feast, and all were so happy that the whole world smiled. The end. Ooh, all that trouble over a few oranges. I understand why Ponyball and Ion lied the first few times. She was worried about him dying, and dying is what he did. Still, I feel a little bit bad for Guiguan, because he was just chilling out at his house and people come fighting him for his oranges. I like in these stories how people come back to life like it's no big deal. It makes the brutality of some of the stories a bit easier to take. I think I'm about halfway through the book of the Philippine folklore, so there's still plenty more to come out. And the podcast shout-out is to the Victorian Variety Show. As Marissa says, if you always believe the myths that the Victorians were prudish and repressed, this podcast may inspire you to reconsider. In each episode, host Marissa discusses a not-so-well-known aspect of life during the Victorian era that will intrigue and surprise you. I've been listening for a while, and Marissa does a great job of bringing history back to life. And you might recognize her voice from episode 175, where she gave the sign-off for my show in Italian. So if you like her podcast as much as I do, go and give her a listen, a rating, and a review. And my listener shout-out is to Hiroshima, Japan. From the Japanese meaning wide island, Hiroshima was once a sleepy little village. In 1589, a castle was built there, and the city sprang to life. Sadly, the city is best known in America as the site of the first atomic bomb attack during World War II. In 1949, the city was declared the City of Peace, and has a dedicated translation group to help facilitate multilateral conventions. Hiroshima is also 58% of my listeners in Japan. And I'm going to try this. My Japanese is not great, but I'm going to try it. So to my listener in Hiroshima, I say, arigato, soshite oyasumi nasai. Thank you, and good night.